Welcome, everybody. It's Elaine. It is Thursday, April 25th, 2019, and I want to take the privilege of saying it is also my middlest child's 22nd birthday, so that's just kind of cool. And we are here on a PSS call on Thursday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and today we will be talking about failing forward when we get there. So let's start with celebrations, and since there's a bunch of new people on the call today, if you want to introduce just your name and age of kids real quick, that would be great. You don't have to, but if you want to, that would help us, help me get a sense of who's on the call. But let's start with celebrations. Who wants to get started? Or I can call on people if that would be easier. Okay, Holly, you're on. What do you want to celebrate?
Oh, gosh. So we're kind of new to this, and we're just kind of been background participants. So we've got a 17-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter. We kind of skipped over the March 1. So I don't know. My husband's here with us, too.
Good.
Can you think of anything?
Oh, that's good. That's all good. So we often start off these calls with celebrations. So what's one thing that's happened in the last couple of weeks that you want to celebrate? And hi, Kara, I see that you're here. Welcome.
Yeah, we've had a lot of trouble with our son keeping up with his assignments. He's done a little bit better in the past few weeks with keeping up with the assignments and getting those turned in. So I guess that's a celebration for us.
Yeah, that is, keeping up with assignments as improvement. That's great. Okay. Who else wants to celebrate? Lauren, can I jump to you?
Yes.
Since you're old hat at this?
Yes, sure. I'm
awesome.
Feeling it was hard challenging today to come up with celebrations. So I'm going to celebrate you guys because I was looking forward. I don't know if I'm allowed to do that. But I was thankful for the call today.
You are absolutely.
To discuss my challenges and hopefully figure out some resolutions. I'm going to celebrate you, Elaine.
Aw, thanks. I appreciate
sure.
that. Who else? Lauren, that was Lauren. What about Lauren? What about Kara?
Hi. I'm probably going to lay low because I have to leave in a little bit. So I'll just celebrate,
okay.
But then I might just listen in. So I have a 12-year-old boy with ADHD and anxiety and stuff. And complex child. And my celebration, we've had a couple of really good weeks. Like, he's, our interactions have been much smoother in terms of when there's a bump, you know, neither one of us reacts too much and we're just recovering super quick from any negativity. And it's a much more positive relationship for the last 2 weeks, at least. That's worth
celebrating. Awesome. So it's working.
I think so. You know, it's hard to tell because his moods change so often, but yeah, I think so. I think it's a combination of things, and I think it's working. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's
it's
definitely part of it.
It's always a combination of things. And part of what happens is we tend to look to everything but ourselves for the solutions, or like for what's working. And so I just
want to remind you that you've been
doing a ton of work, right?
Yeah.
And your interactions are better in part because you've changed how you interact.
Yeah. That actually is a really, really big part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So just a reminder. Awesome. Julie or Elizabeth or Linda or Susie, who wants to go next?
This is Elizabeth.
Oh, that's fine. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
That's great. Elizabeth and then Julie and then Linda and Susie.
All right.
Quick celebration, Elizabeth.
Yeah, I would say, so I have a 16-year-old son who I'm celebrating the fact that we are going to get a full neuropsych eval 2 weeks. It feels like we've been waiting forever. So we're just a couple weeks away from that. And I am noticing and articulating, verbalizing more of his strengths.
Great. Awesome. And Julie, what about you?
Yeah, sorry. Hi, this is Julie. So I have a 12-year-old daughter, and is not officially diagnosed, but has shown some tendencies probably her whole life. So we're doing this work and have a lot of people in place helping, especially because grades started to slip. So we have an executive function coach and this program, and I feel like I have a lot to celebrate over the past couple of weeks of making some clear plans and my daughter really being able to having a better attitude about it all and like us engaging in a more positive way. And I'm really trying to work all the tools across the board.
Awesome.
So, yeah, thanks.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And Linda and Susie.
Linda, I was going to, so Linda and I have a son, Gabriel, who's turning 15 on Monday. And we took
happy
him.
Happy birthday.
Yes, and we took him to the International Car Show in New York City last weekend. And not only was he a delight, but he was actually appreciative, which is not a common occurrence. He actually said, I'm sorry, and he actually said, thank you, and he was effusive about it and said it several times, and to me, that was an enormous victory. So, Linda, I don't know if you have anything to add.
So, I was actually thinking we didn't have anything to celebrate, but that actually is a good one. He was
brilliant.
He was really so appreciative.
That's so great. Well, and just a reminder that there is always something to celebrate, and sometimes we do have to look for it, and it's worth the energy to do that, right? Because
yeah.
When we do, it's a win for them, it's a win for us, and it reminds us of the progress we're making, right? So
yeah.
Since some of you are new to the calls, I'm going to just remind you the structure of these calls. We start with celebrations, and then we take a little bit of time to go around again, and we take aim so that everybody gets to really think about what are you focusing on today. And we want you to think about taking aim on a change that you want to see. It's not about taking aim on what the topic is of the day. It's taking aim on something that you want to see changed in your home. And then we'll talk about the topic for a little bit, and we'll have some conversation, and I'll do a little laser coaching with several of you probably. And then you'll leave with you know, looking at some questions about what you're taking away. And you may apply today's topic to the challenge you're facing, or you may not. It's okay if the topic of the day and your challenge, it doesn't turn out to be a really good solution for your challenge. You will still get something from the call almost always that will help you begin to think differently or shift your perspective on what you're dealing with. So we want to get you in the practice of taking aim, and we want to get you in the practice of thinking about these concepts. And when they merge, that's great. And if they don't, that's okay too, because it's all still moving you forward. Okay. So I'm going to turn to someone who's been here a while to help us sort of set the stage for those of you who are new. So Kara, can I ask you to start by taking aim today?
Sure. But I do have to leave early. Yes.
That's
so,
okay. That's okay. Let's at least get you through the process of taking aim.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely. So this one's kind of different for me is Declan, so he's getting ready to go to middle school. It's the end of fifth grade for him. And mm-hmm. It's been hard to get his homework done. And there's a lot involved with that because it's his teacher and the way things are going there. But he's also just, he's choosing not to do it.
Bottom line, what's the change you want to see?
Oh, the change I want to see, I think building some systems in place. I'd like to get some stronger systems and routines in place for homework to support him with focus, to support him with focus for like a certain period of time.
Okay, so help him with focusing on homework.
Yeah.
Okay, and I just want to point out, because you started by saying, I want systems in place.
Yeah,
and
we
don't want to start with the systems, right? You want to start with the change you want to see and go through the process so that you land on a system that works for that change, right? The systems are not the goal. They're the means to an end. But the end is that you want to help him with focusing on homework.
Yes.
Right? Great.
Yes.
Cool. Cool. And can I just acknowledge that you are not taking aim on getting off of a computer?
Yes.
So that's progress, too.
Yeah. True.
Right. Okay. Anybody, who else wants to take aim?
This is Lauren. I can take aim.
Go for it.
I forgot to mention, I have a 17, soon-to-be 18-year-old son. And I would love to take aim on how to parent around the topic of drugs and alcohol. Is that specific enough?
Okay.
Is that okay?
It is. It's not. I'm going to pull you in a little bit. So what's the change you want to see? Is it you want to be able to have a constructive conversation? Is it, like, what is it that you're looking for?
Honestly, I don't really know, because we've had a lot of conversations about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think my son has done either yet, but I think he is interested in trying one or both alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had conversations and conversations about it, so I don't, that's generally where I go, but I don't, I mean, I have some ideas for systems and structures, but I know we don't want to go there first, so I don't really know.
So is the change that, like, what I hear, the subtext is what I hear is you want him to choose not to try this.
I want him to choose not to do drugs, yes, that's what I want him.
Is that a reasonable expectation?
To me it is. I feel like there's... I don't know. There's things I'm okay with, and there's things I'm not okay with, and I'm not okay with that.
Okay.
So I don't know.
So what? And I think what I heard you say was that you're not okay with him trying drugs.
Not okay with him trying drugs.
So are you separating drugs and alcohol as two separate things?
I am.
Okay. So the change you really want is for him to choose not to experiment with drugs.
Yes.
And to have the conversations around that.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And I want to just reinforce and remind that there is what is in your control and there's what is in your influence, right? We've talked about that on this call before.
Right.
And so what is in your control, you can't control the decisions he's going to make. You can
influence the
conversations around it, right?
Well, that was what I was going to say.
You can't choose for him.
He's going to have to make those choices, and I get that. But there are certain consequences that will happen on our end if he does choose to make those decisions. And I just don't know if going about it the right way.
Okay, so what you really want is to feel confident in how you're parenting him around these decisions and setting appropriate consequences.
Because my husband and I talked about it, and I have an idea about how we have an idea about how we should handle it, but I don't know if it's the appropriate way, I guess.
Okay. I think that's a lot clearer to me what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I just didn't know how to take aim on what all that.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's
okay.
And, you know, we've talked about it. Sometimes we take aim on micro things and sometimes it's macro. And this is kind of that blend of the two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be something micro that's about, you know, how do you communicate and agree on appropriate consequences? But there's also something macro around, like, how do I be in these conversations and know that it's not my choice and sort of be the parent I want to be in that realm. So that's what I'm hearing really clearly. And I know that that's going to resonate for other people on the call. So thanks for bringing that. And I know it's really helpful for others.
Sure.
Who else knows where you think you'd like to take aim today?
This is Linda.
This is Elizabeth. Go ahead.
Elizabeth and then Linda.
Okay.
I just thought I might go next because I could simply repeat what was just said. I want to feel confident in how I'm parenting around drugs and alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, issues are different, but the impact is the same, which is they're going to make their choices. And so it's how we have the conversations. And, you know, we have talked in other calls about the notion of clear communication and expectations, you know, so that we are not punitively, you know, taking things away or reacting, but that we have clear communication in advance so that they know what to expect and they know what the accountabilities and consequences will be. So that then they're making choices based on full information, not just, you know, what's the impact of drugs and alcohol or sexuality or whatever, but also, you know, what's the impact in my home when I make that choice. And the clearer we can be, not just to decide it for ourselves, but to communicate it with our kids, the more effective their ability to make those decisions and to learn how to be responsible around it. So,
yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who else? Linda, I think you were next.
Yeah. So I really want to take aim on, I don't really know how to say it. So I want to take aim on Gabriel getting the impact of not participating in class or
so what's the change you want to see?
I want him to participate in class.
Okay. Same question that's come up a lot today, which is that in your control?
No. But if he doesn't,
So what is in your control?
Around class.
Mm-hmm. You can't get him to participate in class, but what can you be part of?
So I don't know. I'm really stuck with this.
Okay. All right. So let me offer something. May I?
Cool. Okay. Yeah.
So can I offer something? Okay. So for him to participate in class, what does he need? I'm going to answer it. Ready? He needs to want to participate in class. Right? He needs to buy into that. What's required for that? What does he need to understand in order for that to be important to him?
Well, I think he needs to understand what the consequences of not participating are.
Or what else? That's a negative approach, right? That's the stick. What's the carrot approach?
That he would, first of all, enjoy school more. And
so narrow in. What's in it for him? Really simple. What you're saying, actually, is you want to help him find a motivation to participate in class. First, he has to decide it's important, and then he's got to find the motivation to do it, or vice versa. Those two things can go hand in hand.
Yeah.
But if it's your agenda, is he going to do it?
No, because he's not doing it.
Okay.
It's a priority.
So really what you want, it's a priority for you for him to see the value of this so that it becomes his agenda. Do you see that nuance? Right?
Yeah.
Those are the incremental steps we really want to – I was talking to a client this morning – and her daughter was 12 about this notion of, first we want to help them understand what's going on in their brains, what's the challenge they're facing. Then we want to help them understand that it's up to them to manage it, that it's not going to get fixed by giving them a pill. The pill may make it easier, but it's not going to get fixed. It's up to them to manage it. Then they have to set the intention of the change they want to make, take aim on something. Then they have to find the motivation to get themselves to do it. That's the process of creating any change and managing issues with executive function. So you've got a kid who has not yet seen any value. Either he doesn't see the value in participating in class, or there's another obstacle that's preventing him from doing it. He wants to do it, but he's too scared or hesitant or whatever. So until you understand what's going on, you can't come up with a solution for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. So where you're taking aim is to help him sort of find a motivation or get the buy-in, see his role in class participation. So it may be that you stay in sort of that stage two of really getting curious and collecting information even before you figure out what's next, because you don't know yet what's stopping him. And it may be a buy-in issue, and it may be an anxiety issue. Does that resonate?
Yes, it does. And I think for him that it may be an anxiety issue, but he's not willing to discuss what's going on.
Right. So put a bookmark there. We'll come back to it, okay? The place to focus then is to, how do you help him get an understanding or communicate with you about the value of class participation?
Okay.
Okay. That's where you have the capacity for influence.
Okay.
Okay? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Holly or Julie?
This is Julie.
Where do you want to take
all aim? All this has been so helpful already. So there's two separate pieces I might need a little help with, but my daughter, today I found out it's possible, and I don't know the specifics, but that she may have gone to Starbucks in the morning when I dropped her off for early morning tutorial instead of going to tutorial. And she may have brought a teacher a Starbucks. Like she's not trying to be bad. Like
she's not sneaking,
right?
Wrong. All right. There's
like,
some creativity there. All right. So I want to target you a little bit, just in the interest of using our time, right? Is what's the change you want to see?
Okay. So there's two parts to it. One is like I don't want her to do those things or be dishonest about it, but I feel like more important at this stage is me managing my anxiety. Like until I can talk to her and figure out the story, like my whole body is like tight and I'm angry and upset and it's hard to see the positive, like, you know, and I'm really working those tools of trying to see the positive. And when I can hang there, it's so much better in the like kind of more relaxed place of like believing in her and that, you know, and holding that love as I come into the conversation with her instead of the like, what the heck are you doing? Like, this is crazy, and why are you lying and sneaking around? And
what you want is to be able to have a constructive conversation with her about the Starbucks incident with your anxiety in check.
Yeah, I mean, I'd really just like my anxiety to be in check, because if it's not this, it's going to be something else. So, like, how do I?
Yeah, but right now we're not talking about something else. Right now we're talking about this. So it's really good to take aim narrowly, because the more specific you can get it, the easier it is to address it and do something about it. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, definitely.
So I would rather you take aim on this more specifically than on, you know, any time managing your anxiety. That's really big, okay? But you can, if you can manage the anxiety in order to have a constructive conversation around the Starbucks incident, that's really targeted and focused. And once you achieve that, then you get to go, oh, look, this is what worked, and this is where I was successful. And so then you have a win under your belt, and that's what you're going to build on in this program. Okay.
That sounds
so the
good.
More that, and I'm sharing that with you and for others on the call, because as you begin to start this, the process of taking aim very specifically makes a big difference in your capacity to get some quick wins under your belt. Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
So
yep,
no problem. That's great. Holly, what about
okay,
you?
Okay, so... We're sitting here trying to decide. We think that one of the biggest problems with both of our kids is that they don't know when they need help, or, and they are not willing to ask for it. Or I think the biggest thing is they don't know when they need it, and they're taking things
yeah.
into their own hands and kind of making a bigger mess of things because they're either afraid they're going to get in trouble or they're going to be ridiculed for, you know, asking for help with something.
Right.
So is that
okay. So.
Enough?
No, but we'll get you there. And it's early in the program for you, so you get a bit of a pass early on as you begin to figure it out. And I know you said your husband's there with you, so can I just have his name so I know who's here with me? And then this helps
my name's Brent.
Hey, Brent.
My name's
okay.
Brent.
So, is it Brent?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So. So what I think I'm hearing you saying is y'all want to be able to begin to help your kids know when to ask for help, know when they need help, and then be able to ask for it.
Yes.
And is this specifically around school or social, or is there any particular area where you can narrow in a little bit?
Well, school.
And it's okay
for
if not, but
stuff.
It's always good
yeah.
if you can.
Yeah, I think school for our son, I guess, I don't know. There's so many areas. And then for our daughter, like, she just had an incident with an overflowing toilet that she didn't ask for help with, and she was trying to rectify it herself, you know, and just made a bigger mess of things. So she was afraid she was going to get in trouble for it happening in the first place.
Awesome.
So,
Yeah, actually, the toilet is a great place to focus because it's not about school. And it, you know, it wasn't really her fault and all of that. So it's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So for the purposes of today's discussion, can we target having a conversation with your daughter around knowing when to ask for help around,
sure.
you know, life stuff?
Sure.
Is that cool? Okay.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's the temptation is to go really big and broad and, my kids don't know how to ask for help, but the more specific we can get, the more effective it will be to work with them around it, okay? Okay, so I think I got everybody. So I want to move into just some conversation about the topic today, and the topic is what we call failing forward. And I'm going to talk for just a couple of minutes. I don't like to do... you know, each of us who teaches these classes are different, and I don't do a lot of what I would call lecturing about it. I like to just introduce the topic and then let us have a conversation about it and do some coaching within that. Okay, so that's kind of how I approach these calls. Because what I know for sure is that the more ahas you have on your own, the more you'll own the material, and the more you just listen to me talk at you, the less you'll own the material. So that's why I take that approach. So the concept of failing forward is it's a very classic, basic concept in the world of coaching. The notion is that we have this tendency in our world to somehow make mistakes wrong, and we all spend a lot of time correcting our kids' mistakes, and sometimes we get stuck in a perfectionism that corrects even the littlest mistakes, and we're all guilty of that on some level. We start at a really early age because we're teaching them and directing them, and we want them to learn things. But what happens in our society a lot is that we inadvertently create an environment in our home where we make it not okay to make mistakes, where we're correcting so many little things, and our kids get corrected from sun up to sun down, you know, so many times more than their peers. And so they get tired of getting corrected, and we get in the habit of correcting and overcorrecting, and that combination creates an environment where they just feel like it's not okay to make a mistake. I'm not saying that your daughter is in this place, but that last example is a perfect example where the toilet's overflowing and they're afraid they're going to get in trouble, so it's easier to try to fix it. It's like, you know, it's almost like the Harry Potter syndrome. We kids are going to do it on our own. And we have all created environments like this in our homes, every one of us on this call, inadvertently. And so part of what I want to do is help you begin to see that tendency that we all have, because we're all sort of high-achieving adults, right, on some level or another, and to recognize that while it's good to create these high levels of expectation, when we create an environment that says mistakes are not okay, it begins to reinforce this message to our kids that all of this constant redirection means that somehow they're bad or wrong or they're not okay. And so the idea behind this notion of failing forward is to begin to shift from it's not okay to make mistakes, and we do this in lots of ways. We do this by, you know, getting upset or angry when something breaks, or we do this by how we talk to ourselves in front of our kids. If you've ever said, I'm such an idiot, I can't believe I, right? That's a way that we're kind of sending this message that mistakes aren't okay. So the notion of failing forward is to actually, is to change our relationship with mistakes, is to, you know, to look at what we call the magic three questions. What worked? What didn't work? What do we want to do differently? And to take every failure or a misstep or a problem as an opportunity to learn how to do it differently next time. It's a foundational premise of coaching, is this notion of failing forward. And it's a hard shift because most of us weren't raised like this and most of us didn't raise our kids like this. My favorite story around this, and I don't know if I tell the story in the workbook or not. Do you guys know who Sarah Blakely is? She was the founder of Spanx, right? So this billionaire now woman. I heard her interviewed years ago. And when somebody asked her what she attributed her success, she said it was because her father used to, at the dinner table every night, her father would ask them, what did you fail at today? And it got to a point, or what mistakes did you make, that she and her brother were like competing with each other and high-fiving each other when they, you know, made a mistake. And he really created an environment where mistakes were part of learning. And so when she came up with the idea for Spanx, and she said she had no business experience, no retail experience, no marketing experience, no nothing, and it never occurred to her that she couldn't do it because she had been raised in this environment where you learn from making mistakes. And so a lot of us are going to have to undo in order to redo, particularly those of you with older teenagers, because most of us have not created an environment in our families where it's really okay to make mistakes. We sort of give it lip service, but we're not always for real. And so failing forward gives us an opportunity, a structure, for beginning to take that notion of making it okay to make mistakes and put it into practice. Because it gives us a way to say, okay, let's look at what happened, let's look at what worked and what didn't work and what you want to do differently. And again, the toilet overflowing is a stunning example of how to do this, right? It's a great opportunity because you can really say, okay, I get that this happened. Let's talk about what did you do? What do you feel good about that you did in this process? Now, what didn't you do? What would you? And then you could get to what you could do differently. So that's when, what didn't you do is when you could get to asking for help. But you want to start with a positive of, okay, what did she do? Well, one thing she did was she tried to do it independently, and that's pretty good, right? And then you can, whatever the conversation is. But when you start with a positive, with what did work, you diffuse a lot of defensiveness, and you can really keep them from getting stressed out or triggered. And now I will say that this takes a little time to get into the practice of doing this, because a lot of our kids have kind of a trigger defense mechanism, and so they don't want to be wrong. They're terrified of being wrong, and so part of the process here is going to be about changing the cycle slowly and beginning to shift it over time and not expecting it to happen overnight. So I'm going to stop there and sort of open up for discussion. What's coming up for any of you around these notions of making it okay to make mistakes and failing forward?
I could speak to that. My name's Elizabeth. And I think we've really landed at this place in many ways at moments in our 16 years of parenting, but we, I think the difference is we've tried to kind of say, speak publicly in the house about when we make mistakes. So I made a big mistake the other, 2 years ago. I remember distinctly, I forgot to pick up somebody else's children when I was supposed to. It was a really horrible mistake.
Right.
And, and I said to my husband, oh, I made this horrible mistake today. And the kids came running in from the other room and said, tell us about the mistake. You know, and it occurred to me at that moment that I normally don't talk about my mistakes. And so I then consciously tried to start doing it. But I realized that I still am kind of giving lip service to this thing, that I'm still hiding my mistakes because my relationship with mistakes is not where it needs to be. So I think I know where I need to go, and I'm angling that way. But I think you're absolutely right. Like, you have to shift from the core belief and understanding first, and then the behavior will follow.
Brilliant. Such a great example. And I think we all do this a lot, this notion of, I think I'm trying to create this, but I'm not really. And what I've learned over the years is that when we verbalize our mistakes to our kids, they do love it. And it's in part because it makes us a little human to them, right? So many of us were raised with this notion that we're supposed to be the authority and we're supposed to be the model. But part of parenting is modeling making mistakes. Right, and if we don't, and they think we're perfect, nobody likes to play with a perfect kid, right? Nobody likes to play with that stuck-up goody two-shoes. And yet when we present ourselves in that light to our kids, they begin to see us as, that we're perfect, they're not, and they will never be able to achieve. And so we want them to be able to map and model onto us and see our full humanness so that they can see their future, because they're going to make mistakes. And that's part of what it's all about. So great observation, Elizabeth. Who else, what else is coming up for people?
This is Linda.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's interesting. I talk about my mistakes, but I'm like, oh, what an idiot. And I
right.
think making it okay for him to make mistakes. And I've even said, everybody makes mistakes. No big deal. But then when I talk about my mistakes, I use that language that makes it not okay.
Right. Yeah.
Never.
So you're giving these double messages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Who else? Yep. Anybody else beginning to notice that pattern?
This is Lauren. I totally get what you're saying, and I couldn't agree more, and I feel like I've tried to do that. I just don't know for the, like, now with driving and, like, with the big stuff, that's gets really hard to let them make the big mistakes. Like the life,
all of them, they do get bigger. Yeah.
So.
Well, but I think you can also have conversations about, little mistakes and big mistakes, and, some of the reasons that we make some of the decisions we make around driving and cell phone use and all of that is because we are responsible for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we do want to make sure that they're not making any mistakes. You know, that yes, people learn from mistakes, but there are big ones and little ones, and we don't want anybody
right.
to be in a place where they're going to make a mistake that's going to affect them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, and we do talk about I'm okay with mistakes. The life-altering mistakes, well, I mean, I guess any mistake could be technically life-altering, depending on how you grow from it or learn from it and all that, but the ones that, the significant mistakes are, I don't know. We do talk about that, but it's hard to, I don't know. It's getting
it is. This is
more
hard
challenging.
Stuff. It is. No question. So when you talk about it, this notion of failing forward, how does that jump out at you? How could that add to the conversations you've had in the past?
Um, I don't know. I mean, because we do talk about it. We do talk about that it's okay to make mistakes. And we
okay,
do.
So I'm
you,
suggesting
I don't
that
know.
You take it to the next level, which is to sort of debrief a mistake, right? Right? To actually say, okay, this mistake happened. Let's talk about it and see what there is to learn from it.
Yeah, I feel like we do that.
Mm-hmm. So what about this structure of starting with a positive?
Well, I'm struggling with that a little bit, too. I don't know if now is an appropriate time to ask, but can I ask what I was going to ask for what my husband and I had talked about? My husband thought it would be a good idea to come up with a contract because he said us sitting there and talking, like he wasn't sure how much of that he would hear, and he wants to be sure that we're all on the same page and he understands what our expectations are. So putting together, here's our expectations as far as drug use goes, but it's not all in the positive. I mean, it's like some of it is if you choose to use drugs, this will happen, which it's not all in the positive. So I don't know.
I don't mean to suggest that everything we say should be in the positive. So let me clarify. What I'm saying is that the notion of failing forward is about learning how to learn constructively from mistakes. And so if we put a little process to it, and I call it the magic three questions, right? If we put a little process to it that says, okay, what worked?
Mm-hmm.
And we start with what works is we're having this open conversation with each other. We're being honest with each other. Might be what's working, right? Depends on the scenario that we're all talking about. But so what's working will be different in each scenario. The toilet bowl example, what worked was she was trying to do something independently, right? She recognized that there was a problem and tried to do something about it. That's another action that worked. So if you can start with the positive, you know, when you've got kids who aren't doing well in school, one of you, Susie, you were talking about the class participation issue. Well, so what works in school may be that, you know, he gets his work turned in or he attends and listens in class, or, you know, what may not be working is this class has a class participation grade and he's not getting the grade he could get. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying that's what it is. So if we start by what's working, we give them an opportunity to have a little bit of a win and
mm-hmm.
not feel quite so deflated before
right.
we go to what's not working. And so that's what I mean. I'm not saying be all Pollyanna.
Okay.
I'm saying we want to look at the whole picture and the whole story and not only at what's broken. So
right.
from what you're saying about having a contract, I think a contract is a great idea, but I wouldn't bring him a contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then he has no capacity to be part of the buy-in. It's all your agenda, right? And there may be some reasons for him to buy in that may be punitive or, you know, avoiding. But if you really want him to be part of the conversation, you start by having a conversation with each other and saying, what's important to you? And listen to what's important to us and let's talk about it. And then you can say, okay, we're going to take what we heard from you and what we believe, and we're going to come back to you with a contract and let's talk about it and negotiate it, because that's what a contract is. A contract is negotiated.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to teach your kids to negotiate, because if they don't learn to negotiate with you, they're going to learn to negotiate with their peers. And believe
right.
me, they'll learn more from doing it with you than they will with their peers. Right?
Yeah.
So you have this incredible opportunity to bring him into the conversation and to use it as a vehicle for having open and honest conversation with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you acknowledge that y'all are in different places on what you want, and that's kind of normal and to be expected. And if you don't make that wrong, right, then you can figure out how to move forward in a process with each other.
Okay.
Okay. I want to be mindful of time, and I know there are a number of people on the call, and we still have about 10 minutes left. But I want to make sure we do have time for checkout. So any other conversations or comments about sailing forward or what's coming up for you around it?
This is Brent. I have, and listening to this, it's very eye-opening, and I've tried to make some changes recently, but I know that I have always made the mistakes a bigger deal than they need to be. And I've never seen anything change in it. So I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate this and that I am making the changes and receiving this and saying that these are priceless tactics to say to them, how can we move forward and make some changes?
Great. Thank you for sharing that. And I just want to remind you that you're likely to make mistakes in this process.
that's a given all the time.
Right, and that's okay, right? And you can say that to them. You can say, look, we've never parented a teenager either, and we're trying to figure this out too.
Yeah,
right?
That's
great.
We're not trying to hurt you, man. We just get it wrong sometimes.
Yeah, and that's so what they need to hear. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Anybody else? What's coming up?
Hi, this is Kara.
Going forward. Oh. Yep, go for it, Kara.
Oh, thanks. I'm walking right now, so I apologize for that. I'm going to Declan's IP for transition to middle school, but that's not what I was going to say.
Of course.
Because I could fail forward at that too. One thing that I just wanted to share is because I, in relation to this, that I've noticed and that I'm going through right now with this homework, trying to set up things that make sense and noticing when he really cannot focus and I'm just trying things. And so I need to have a conversation with him wanting to have his best friend come over every day and just share with him, you know, let's just try only having him come over 2 days a week, you know, and see if we can get more homework done.
So, and here's what I want to challenge you to do is instead of doing that, because you're jumping to solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Start with a conversation. Okay, what's working around getting your homework done?
Right. Right.
What's not working? Okay, what do you think we might try differently? And then you can suggest having the friend not come over every day or having have him come over after something's done or whatever the motivation is.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Start by looking at what's working. And just as a side note, may I suggest if you don't already have a pull-up bar, get a pull-up bar.
Oh, yeah. Well, he goes outside and plays basketball is his thing, but he actually does
bar.
Love
it's quicker and less distracting because you can say, okay, you're having a hard time focusing. Get up, go do some pull-ups, see how it goes and come back. It's sometimes
and
just
he loves
wall
doing
push-ups
pull-ups.
Or pull-ups
that's great.
Yep, can be really just – it's just a magic little tool for a lot of kids.
Thank you for sharing that. It's funny because he kind of likes to show off because he's so thin he can pull
himself. Exactly. Exactly. But when they're having a hard time focusing, the first quick places to look are, have they had protein recently,
mm-hmm.
and have they moved their body?
Right.
Because those are two quick. Those are just two quickies, that and a glass of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
It helps feed the brain. Okay. So thanks. Anybody else before we do sort of checkouts? Any other comments on failing forward or how it applies to what you're looking at? I'm curious because there's quiet, and I don't know if it's because there are a lot of people on the call today or if it's resonating and you're just processing it. Just curious what people's sense of this conversation is.
Well, this is Linda.
This is.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of sitting here going, my God, I am so terrible at this. Like, you know,
what
kind of beating myself up because I don't really know how to do this. And even when I try, I think the language I'm using is completely stifling him.
Ooh, what a great awareness. What do you think the impact would be on him of hearing you say that?
Well, I would like to think the impact would be like he'd be like, wow, and actually get the genuineness of my share.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, yeah, and?
Okay. Well, and so here's what I will remind you is that sometimes you're going to say something and they're going to be processing it for the next 2 days, right? And just because their immediate response isn't, oh, mom, thanks, doesn't mean they're not noticing it or processing it, or it doesn't mean it's not sinking in. And
right.
Knowing you two and the world that you come from and what you bring to your kid, the likelihood of him not processing it in some way is pretty slim. He's going to
yeah.
do it in his way. And that's the thing, is they're not always going to get from these conversations what we want them to get, particularly the older kids. They're going to get what they get. And then we work from that. But if we're attached to wanting them to get this particular message, then we're likely to be disappointed. But if we're attached, if we can attach ourselves to being in open conversation with our kids and creating an environment that helps them learn whatever it is they need to learn, that will keep them moving forward. But those years of, I'm going to teach you this and this is what you're going to learn, are over for the most part for everybody on this call. I mean, there are exceptions, and there'll be times where they'll come to you and ask you to teach them something. But for the most part, you're in another stage of parenting with them that's about creating an environment for them to discover. And failing forward is a magical tool in helping create an environment for them to begin to learn from mistakes instead of shutting down from them. And I just want to remind you, it's going to take some time because it's a really hard muscle to exercise.
Yeah.
Because it's ingrained in a lot of us. So let's move into sort of what... Yeah, Julie, go ahead. And then we'll move
so
on.
I was kind of saving it for my checkout, actually, but...
That's okay. Perfect timing. Because
I'm trying
to say... We
yeah.
Just, yep.
I'm trying to figure out how to use this today with the, you know, upcoming Starbucks discussion, and so
perfect.
Like thinking about, because I do use with them, you know, what worked. I definitely have a lot of room for growth here for sure, and I do use like what worked, what doesn't work, what can we do differently next time. However, I know specifically
mm-hmm.
with my daughter, and especially lately, it's laden with judgment, even with those kind of open-ended questions. Like my tone as I'm saying them probably is, doesn't
mm-hmm.
feel very like open. So I want to practice really owning that, and if it starts to feel a little defensive, you know, owning that I mess up here with this too, and I'm really practicing, which I've been saying a lot to her lately as I'm trying on new ways of being together and with
right.
myself around all this. And so so that's what I am taking with, like, these three questions around, you know, and the Starbucks. Just really, I feel like success would just be keep having a conversation that doesn't get shut down and just getting information.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
great. Yep. You may need to stay in curiosity a little bit with her. The other
yes.
strategy I'll teach you for managing your anxiety is laughter. If you can laugh at the situation and laugh at yourself, I mean, what you describe is pretty comic. You drop her off, she goes to Starbucks, and then she brings the teacher a Starbucks. That's funny.
A pink Starbucks drink, yes. So
it's rich. I mean, it's a rich, wonderful story. You'll be telling it for years to come if you can laugh about it.
Okay, I love that. Thank you.
Okay.
That was helpful.
Thank
you. Thanks, everyone.
All
yeah.
right, take care. So
you.
The final questions as we're checking out tonight is for today is, what do you feel like you were focusing on today? And more importantly, what's your aha or what's your takeaway from this conversation, and what action do you want to commit to from here? So So what do you feel like you're taking away, and what's your commitment to action from here? Who wants to get us going?
This is Lauren. I'm going to commit to getting his buy-in.
What's your takeaway?
Takeaway is to commit to getting his buy-in or before presenting the contract or before creating the contract, I guess. But I'm still not 100% sure how to fail forward when you strongly disagree, like drinking and driving, for example. If you strongly disagree
with
that.
You have a responsibility, right? So if, if drinking and driving is a bottom line, I mean, that's not a negotiation. I mean, that's a legal issue.
Right.
It's a safety issue. It's, you know, like, I mean, you draw your line. If I've done this with my kid. If I ever find you behind the wheel of a car inebriated or getting into a car with anybody else inebriated, you lose the car, period.
Right, and that's what we've said, but I just don't know how you fail forward in these situations when you feel very strongly about.
Because you have other things that you can discuss and work around. And, you know, we've had conversations about, you know, what is inebriated, what's the level, and, you know, is it different for drugs than it is for alcohol? And, I mean, and there are times where we have to agree to disagree, right? But he knows what our bottom lines are and our expectations are in order to use our car under our under our insurance, you know.
Right, okay.
So you can draw your lines that are reasonable. You just want to you got to have also know where the room is for discussion and disagreement and whatever, you know. And if so, you don't think he should use anything. If he does, is it going to be? Are you going to create an environment where it's safe for him to call you? Right.
Well,
what does he know if he calls you,
like,
he's going to get in trouble? And if that's the case, you know, is that the choice you want to make? Right. Those are the that's the negotiation you're gonna play with.
Right.
Is how do you handle it when? You know, and ultimately you want to get to a point where you're the safety for the kid. I mean, we've always told our kids they can throw us under the bus. So my kid will leave and go to an event, and he'll say, if I text you such and such, will you please call me and tell me I have to come home?
Yeah.
Right.
We do that
and
as
well. And that's where you want, but you've got to, it takes a while to get to that.
Okay.
So, and remember, these conversations don't happen once, and they don't happen fast. Right? Give them a little bit of information to chew on, and then leave it alone and come back to it later. No kid wants to ever hear, we have to talk. Right? You've already shut them down as soon as you've said that. So, like the bird at the end of the edge of the ocean, you jump in, you run back. You jump in, you run back. Little crumbs. Who else? What do you take? What's your aha from today? So really, with aha, it's like, what are you aware of that you weren't aware of before today, or as clear about?
It's Susie. What struck me was for the carrot before the stick. And I think lately we've been having so many issues with Gabriel. It's all about finding the best stick. So finding the motivation again and returning to that is going to be critical. And the actions that we can take, I can take, is to start having those kinds of conversations with him. But the whole call today was very useful. Thank you.
Super. My pleasure. Who else?
Do you want to take?
Anybody else? What are your ahas or takeaways?
This is Elizabeth, and I'll quickly say that I the simplicity of the magic three questions is an aha. As much as I would like it not to be. And so I guess my takeaway really is to begin with what worked. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Or with what worked or what is working, either of those, right?
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Thanks. Who else? Holly or Brent or Julie, who else has an aha or takeaway?
This is Julie. I feel like I did my checkout with my Starbucks thing and just the three questions, and I love the laughing and just the reminder to.
Great. So what's
fail.
Your commitment from here?
To engage in this, to practice this with this conversation this afternoon, and to let us both fail if we fail, and try and be easy on myself and her too.
Yeah, great. Well, and again, management, anxiety management strategy number 501 is laugh at yourself and laugh at the situation.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you.
Really helps. Mm-hmm. Pleasure.
Yeah.
Holly and Brent, I'm really curious what your thoughts are around whether this can help you with whether the toilet bowl incident can help you practice this as a sort of way of talking about it for future conversations.
Definitely. And I think we've started to adopt some of these ideas even before the toilet bowl incident. We didn't freak out on that. You know, said, hey, this is a mess. And, you know, if you had asked for help, you wouldn't be the one cleaning this up. We would be. I think it definitely helped.
Great. Well, and what I love about that example is the same reason why I think that this work is so important to do in the summer when there's no schoolwork involved. Because when we can practice this stuff on life instead of on where we feel like there's a vested interest, it could be so much less stressful on everybody. Anybody else? Kara? I think I haven't heard from you. I think you're the only one. If you're still here, she may not be still here. Okay. And I know we're a little over time, so thank you all for staying on the extra time, those of you who were able to, and I'm sorry we went over a little bit. And I hope it was a constructive call for everybody. I hope you'll cut yourselves some slack and handle with yourselves, own your mistakes, and help your kids slowly but surely learn to begin to own this. And have a great couple of weeks. We'll talk to you soon. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks.